Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and this is Nintendo World Report's Connectivity Podcast, episode 117, That's Your Gateway Drug. We got two segments for you. First is an original quiz show from the mind of Don Koopman, and after that, Scott and Zach discuss the definitive games for the Wii. Enjoy the episode.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this very special section of Connectivity in the year that is not the year of Luigi.
Well, it's still kind of the year of Luigi.
And, fair enough. The voice you are hearing there is Alex Calafi.
Hi everyone.
And we are also joined by the man himself, the master, the champion of this podcast, Scott Thompson.
I am not going to do well in this game, but hello.
Yeah, fair enough. So this is a quiz. We have four rounds. One is a news round. The second one is a music round. The third one is a NBR facts round. So it's going to be interesting how much these guys actually know about their own freaking website. And fourth is going to be special that I'm going to reveal when we get there. And it's going to be devious.
So it's important to mention this is a game show that Don has completely made up himself. This is different than like our Jeopardy and Who Wants to Be a Nintendo Wear kind of segments. This is something Don has created in his mad little mind. So we will see how it goes. But I'm excited to test my mettle here.
This last segment sounds incredible. The last part of this whole challenge thing. I think everyone who's listening is going to enjoy it.
I hope so too, or else it would be all for nothing. So let's jump in. The first round is called What's the Headline Anyway, which is a take on that very popular show that everybody can remember. If you don't remember, then you're possibly not very good with improv comedy. Anyway, we're going to look at this round at like some of the news that happened throughout 2014. We have a max on this for 10 minutes. I have like a whole bunch of questions written down. So if the time runs out, that's it. That's over. Too bad. So here we go, let's jump into the first question. In the United Kingdom, a Wii U commercial got taken off the air for violating some rules. What was wrong with this commercial?
Oof.
Oh boy.
I do not know, so I will pass.
Do we lose points for guessing?
No.
Okay. Is it because they used copyrighted music that they shouldn't have used?
No.
Okay, it was worth a try.
It was because of misleading messages, because not every game supported off-TV play.
Oh yeah, I remember that news story. I guess not well enough.
In Europe, there was a discussion going on when like the Virtual Console service came out on Wii U. What were exactly European fans unhappy about?
Oh, that it was in, what is it?
50 megahertz?
50 megahertz, yeah.
I think Scott was first there, so Scott got the point.
Yeah, he started the thought.
Yeah.
That's his.
Developer Brownie Brown got a massive overhaul at this year and became a whole different studio together. What is their name now?
1UP Studios.
That's a point for Alex. Gaming programmer Mike Hoy, or Hay, did something special out of the ordinary for his three-year-old daughter. What exactly?
He changed Zelda so you play as a...
It's Donkey Kong, so you play as Peach.
Oh, Donkey Kong, that's what it is.
It's Pauline, but I will count it, Alex.
All right.
That's right.
Yeah. Pokemon Rumble U became the first game to support which feature of the Wii U?
NFC.
Of course the Pokemon fan gets it.
This is fun.
Yeah. Way before Miiverse on Nintendo 3DS became a thing, a certain 3DS game already got a community. Which game was this?
Animal Crossing?
No, even way before that.
Let me see.
What was this year?
This year, huh?
Was the year of...
Luigi.
So which game came out in the year of Luigi? Which 3DS game?
Luigi's Mansion?
That is correct.
What was the community?
That's for Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Yeah, but how did that community happen? Like, I don't...
Let's move on. It's going to be way too long if we're going to question everything.
Okay, sounds good.
Yes. In June, Nintendo ended some of their services on Wii. Can you name them all? You get a point for each.
Nintendo channel.
That's 1 point for Alex.
News and the weather forecast. I don't know if those count as points.
Yes, they do. Scott, do you have anything?
Probably what, the Vote For Me channel? Wasn't that something?
Yes.
Is that all of them?
They had the surveys, like the little like quizzes. But is that a thing they were even still doing? I don't even remember.
No, they plugged that too. Yeah, you got that one. You said Meme Maker?
Yeah, that meme. Not like the Meme Maker, but the one where you can like showcase your memes.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, Scott, you gotta get brutal.
So the only two left that you guys didn't get were posting on the Wii message board, sending messages to friends, and sharing game data and games now.
Mm.
So you did pretty good.
Huh. Okay.
Which SNES game so far you released on the Wii U Virtual Console?
Huh?
Which SNES game so finally released on the Wii U Virtual Console?
Earthbound.
There we go.
No, Scott got it. There you go. Did you guys play Earthbound?
I haven't yet. Scott reviewed it, didn't you?
Yeah, I reviewed it over at IGN. I beat it again this year, and I have my old Super Nintendo cart, so yeah, I'm a big fan of that game.
Good, good. Wario started a project of his own for his highly anticipated game in Wario. Which parody site did he create?
Oh, man.
Didn't he do, like, some, like, fart thing, or was that with,
You are close.
Okay.
I'm winning you to give you half a point. It was Crowdfarter.
Oh, yeah. That was dumb.
So, Miyamoto was quoted as saying that he thinks that this is his best game ever. What game?
Pikmin 3.
There you go. Nintendo released 4 new Street Pass games to the public. Can you name them all? You get a point for each.
Force.
Mm-hmm.
Flower Town.
Mm-hmm.
God, what was the one that was like Quest or something? And then there was the ghost one.
I need names.
I got nothing. Man.
Okay. I'm willing you to give you half a point for each one because you were close. One was Warrior's Way, another was Monster Manor.
Warrior's Way and Monster. Yeah, that's right.
So there you go. Which Japanese company was declared bankrupt, yet this gaming development house turned out completely fine?
Oh, well, who was it that survived? It was Atlas survived.
Yes.
I don't know the parent company yet.
I will give you both a point. I'm feeling generous today.
Okay.
Yeah. In this year of Luigi, a number of titles have come out that actively feature him. Can you name each title?
Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon.
Mm-hmm.
New Super Luigi U.
Mm-hmm.
Mario and Luigi.
Ah, I was just going to say that one. Dr. Mm-hmm. Luigi.
Mm-hmm.
New Super Mario 3D World.
That is correct. The next question, we have like 3 minutes still on the clock, so we're doing well. The new Mario Kart title on Wii U will be coming out on spring 2014, but I'm wondering, what will be the Game Pass be used for?
Horn honking.
Correct. Talk about the Japanese market. Which 3DS game was the fastest selling 3DS game in that region?
Monster Hunter?
Yeah, it's either that or Pokemon, but probably Monster
Hunter. Correct.
Is it 4? Was it 4?
It was 4, yes.
Okay.
Nintendo had a severe loss this year as its biggest icons finally saw rest. Who am I talking about and how old did he become?
Finally saw rest.
Yes. A severe loss and one of its biggest icons.
I can't remember his name or how old he was.
Oh, Hiroshi Yamauchi. Real life people. I thought you were talking about a character.
Like a character? Yeah. No. How old was he?
He was 80s.
For some reason, I was 88 comes to mind for some reason.
Yeah.
Do you want to take a guess, Alex?
It's Hiroshi Yamauchi. Oh, age?
Yep.
84.
You were close. It was 85.
Oh, wow. Mm.
On Wii U, Tokitori 2 saw a massive increase after a price drop plus an update. By how many percent did the sales go up? And you can give a rough estimate, both of you.
200%?
Oh, God. Well, I guess 150%.
You both are way too far off. Say higher.
800%.
1,000%.
Well, Scott is close. It was 8,027.
Wow. That's cool.
Yes. Good for them. Yeah, really good.
Well, I don't know actually... how much it helped. They just like fired people and restructured to be a smaller team. But
that's correct, yeah.
It sounds good, though, on the surface.
Yeah.
The heavily delayed Rayman Legends saw these exclusive costumes coming to Wii U version as a bonus.
Mario and Luigi.
Yep.
Correct. Sakurai decided against cutscenes in the new Smash Bros. Game. Why?
Because people would look him up on YouTube and it would waste his effort by not seeing them in the full game.
That is correct. This version of the Nintendo 3DS family can be considered somewhat of a black sheep, as it no longer is a clamshell. What am I talking about?
2DS?
There you go. And I have time for one more question. Amazing. In the indie scene, Nintendo surprised everybody by allowing this in their software titles. What?
Miis?
Well, that's not really specific to indie games.
Miiverse? Oh, it's that framework, isn't it? Unity? Is that it?
No, I was talking about a feature, but... that was also a pretty impressive answer. Actually, the answer I was looking for is cross-platform online play.
Oh. What game did that?
There are multiple are going to be using that in 2014.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
So, at the end of the first round, Scott got 14 points. And Alex got 17 and a half.
Ooh.
Nice. It's close. That's good.
Yep.
So everything is still to play for as we move on to the music.
Excellent.
So, we're going into round two, which is the music. We have two packages. We just decided beforehand who's going to do which, and the first package is for Scott. Each of these packages contains six songs, and contestants have to guess the game and the month. Are we ready, fellas?
I'm ready.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to listen to the first package then.
We'll be right back.
So, that was the first package, and what a package it was.
Yeah.
So, Scott, can you name any of them?
Yeah, I'll try. Well, the first one was Super Mario 3D World, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. And you which know...
came out in November.
Correct, too.
Was the second one Rayman Legends?
No.
Okay. Ooh. I thought maybe it was one of the spy levels. Okay, so I don't know that one. Is the third one possibly... No. I don't know the third one either. I thought maybe it was like one of like the Ace Attorney game, because I didn't play that, so I was just guessing.
Nope.
Was the fourth one Pikmin 3?
Also, no.
Yeah, I did really bad on this. I didn't know the fifth one, and then the sixth one, I was just guessing because I haven't played it yet. Was it A Link Between Worlds?
No.
Okay, yeah, so I only got the first one. That was bad.
Okay, Alex, do you know any of them?
I think there was one of them I might have known, but I don't think so.
Okay. So they were, like, the first one, like Scott correctly said, was Super Mario 3D World, which came out in November. Then it was Injustice, Gods Among Us, which came out in April. Tokyo Crash Mobs, which came out in January. eShop title, lovely music. Very jazzy. Dampen Man 2, which came out in May. Lego City Undercover, which I used the Falling to Earth theme on that. The one in the final mission, which is amazing. And then finally, there was Attack of the Friday Monsters, which came out in July. It's very soothing music. People should play that. Okay, so we're moving on to the second package.
I'm really upset about that, because I played Injustice and Lego City and didn't recognize either of them.
Well, that's too bad.
It is.
What? Anyway, let's moving on. And we just wrapped up the second package. And Alex, do you recognize any of them?
Sure, I'm going to go down my list. I'll just go down the list of six.
Yeah.
Harmonite from March, Pokemon X and Y from October, Jet Rocket 2 from, I'm going to say October, Call of Duty Ghost from November, Pokemon X and Y again for October. I want to spread out my chances. And last but not least, Animal Crossing New Leaf from June. June 9th, specifically.
There was another... I want to stop you there. There was another Animal Crossing game. It's not the one you're thinking of. Or Animal Crossing app, actually.
Oh, wow. What a twist.
Is that where the song was from? Was it from the app?
Yes. Do you know the app, Alex? Because you were quite right, but I want
to... It was Animal Crossing Plaza.
Which month came it out?
It came out... Oh, man. I am going to say... August.
Correct.
Nice.
So you both... So at least both got 2 points. But maybe... You don't know. Maybe Scott can turn it around and get a load of these answers. Some
what was
kind
the
of...
other point I got? Oh, wait, you'll tell me.
The one for month and the one for the game.
Okay.
But,
oh, each is worth a point. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so you got 2 points.
Was the first one Lego City The Chase Begins?
No.
Man, it sounded just like Lego City. It's got that like that guitar in it. That just
I will reveal like what that was. That was the Sonic Lost World.
Oh, okay.
Oh, see. That sucks, because that's what I picked for number two was Sonic Lost World, so I got that one wrong too, I guess.
that one, wow. I was a bit sneaky with that one, because we had no game for December to really find, because nothing noteworthy came out, so I just went with a European release, which is basically yep. Default, but I would have gave you 2 points if you would even have gotten that one, so...
I thought you might do that, but I wasn't sure, so I didn't pick Bravely Default for any of these. And that's it. I didn't know 3, 4, 3 through 5. I didn't even make guesses. So
the third one will kind of rip you in half, though, Scott, because the third one was Game & Wario.
I thought it sounded familiar. I just wasn't sure.
And which came out in June. The fourth one was Rage of the Gladiator, which came out in September. The fifth one was Brain Age, which came out in February.
I played that game. That was good. I wish I remembered it.
Yes, are you good? Because I write these. Ha 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 ha. So at the end of the second round, not many points were scored, but Scott is at 16 and Alex is at 19.5.
Okay, still pretty close.
So nothing has changed in the score, but we're moving on to round 3. Round 3 is Did You Know? This part actually is going to talk about things of NWR in 2013. These questions have a bit more context, so there are a little less of them. So the first few questions are going to be about reviews. NWR brings the weekly awesomeness by telling you what we think about the latest and greatest. The ROF are sometimes games that we don't want to remember. For this question, I'm searching for games that scored lower than a 3. I will name a game, and we'll go on and off, so I'll switch between Alex and Scott. And you have to give me a simple yes or no answer. Scored this game lower than a 3.0. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Yes.
I'm starting with you, Alex.
Okay.
Ben 10 Omniverse.
Higher.
That is correct. Scott.
Can I guess the score? Oh, okay.
You can't guess the score, sadly.
Oh.
Scott. Chuck E. Cheese's Alien Defense Force.
Oh, it has to be less.
That is correct. That was a 2.0.
Oh, man.
The next one. Family Party for Alex. Family Party 40 Great Games Obstacle Arcade.
I vaguely remember this review, and I remember it was a low score. I'm going to guess higher?
That is incorrect.
Man.
That was a 1.0.
Oh, God.
That's as low as it goes.
Yeah. The next one is for you, Scott. Marvel Avengers Battle for Earth.
Marvel Avengers Battle for Earth. Higher than a 3.
That is correct. It was a 4.0. Alex, Crystal Adventure.
Higher.
Lower.
Man.
Scott, Jewel Master, Cradle of Egypt 2.
Higher.
Correct. Alex, Biorhythm.
Higher.
That is correct.
Nice.
Scott, 101 Dino Pets 3D.
Lower.
Actually, that was a trick question. It's exactly 3.0, so I'm going to give you that regardless anyway.
Man, okay. That's a free space.
Yes. Don't worry. Alex.
Sure.
Unchained Blades.
I'm going to say higher than a 3, but not by much.
It was a 5.
Oh.
Scott. Wind. Christmas yep. Wonderland 2.
Christmas Wonderland 2?
Yeah.
God, lower.
A 2.0, correct. Alex, Clash of the Elementalists.
That sounds like a shitty game. Lower.
And that was your trick question. That was a free exact as well.
Oh, cool. Everyone wins.
Yeah. Everybody gets a free space. Don't worry.
Okay.
Scott, Witch's Cat.
Witch's Cat?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm going to say higher.
That is correct. That got a 6. Alex, Othello.
Othello. I'm going to say higher.
6.5.
Cool.
Scott, Smurfs 2.
Oh god, lower.
That was a 1.
Oh, man.
And the final 2 in this list. So for Alex, it's going to be Groove Heaven.
Higher.
That is correct, it was a 7.0. It was highest I included in this list. Wow. And the final one for Scott, that is Adventure Time. Explore the dungeon because I don't know.
Ooh.
Oh, I know this got a very bad review, but was it 3 or lower? Oh, man. I'm going to say lower.
You are correct. It's a 2.0.
Jesus. Nice.
So the second question is, we only score a couple of times in a year, like a game, a perfect score. Which can you name like one of them and you get a point for it?
The Wind Waker HD. Neil Ronahan reviewed that.
That wasn't a 10.
It Runner wasn't. 2.
That is correct, Scott. Alex, do you want to have another guess?
Here's one of my favorites. There was a review of Deus Ex Human Revolution that was a 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
Correct. And, Scott, your final try?
There's one more.
There are actually 2 more, but you only are allowed to guess one more.
Okay. Give me a second here. Okay, so Runner 2.
So can I make a correction? Neil did give the Wind Waker HD a 10 out of 10.
Okay, so you get the point from me for free.
Nice.
Oh, man, what?
I'll link it in the chat if you don't believe me.
No, I believe you. I believe you.
You believe Neil will give a game a 10?
Yeah, I do believe that. He get Runner 2 a 10. Man, what else could there be?
It's a very obvious one.
Well, there's Mario 3D World.
Correct.
Ooh, Andrew reviewed that, I think.
Well, we had like 5 reviews for that, so yeah, it makes sense.
At least one of them will be a 10.
two of them were actually 10. Mine was an 8.5.
Oh, there nice. You go.
For the madman that I am. In what instance this year, we had a review with 5 different authors all joining the craze. What was this game?
A Link Between Worlds.
No, it was like, was that 3DS like arcade
kidding.
Game or something you guys all
Joindot's Funfair Party Games.
That's fun indeed, Funfair Party Games. Next question, who wrote the most reviews this year?
Neil.
Well, yeah, that's his.
Neil is not number one. It's actually the second.
Oh, he's not number one? Holy crap.
Yes.
Oh, you, Don. You wrote the most.
Oh, of course it's Don. Like that's yeah. That's so obvious. It's right in front of your face, but you never notice it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at his little picture here on Skype, and I didn't even think about it.
So even for comparison's sake, Neil wrote 24 reviews in 2014. Mm-hmm. 2013, I mean. And I wrote 47.
Oh, wow. Man. You journalist, you.
So, we also have a podcast. You might be listening to it now. It's called Connectivity. Who edited the most podcast this year, Mike or Scott?
Scott.
Well, I guess I'll say Mike then.
Scott is correct. It's Mike.
Yeah. Yes. How didn't you know this, so. Scott?
Well, you know, I don't know. I was going to like do the math on it, but you just instantly said my name, so I didn't really have a choice.
You could have been idiots and said both said the same name, but there you go. You went different and scored a point, so there you go.
It's a brutal game, Scott.
Yeah, I know.
All of these connectivity podcasts also have wacky titles, and to honor these, I'm going to name a few. If I'm saying a fake one, you have to say that. If you think I'm saying one that's correct, you have to say that too. We're going to do the same one like the different reviews. Here we go. Alex.
Yeah.
The title is Physical All the Way.
I'm going to say that is a real title.
That is correct. Scott.
Mm-hmm.
One Badass Show.
Oh, that is not a real title.
That is correct.
This is Scott's category. He wrote half of them.
Alex.
Yes.
I killed him. Did I just win?
Oh, that's... Oh, man, but is that Connectivity or RFN? I'm going to say Connectivity.
That is correct.
I knew it was a title.
Scott, Serving the Community.
Serving the Community? I don't think that's a title.
You are correct. Alex,
mm-hmm.
Don't Screw With Me.
Not a title.
Correct. Okay, I was with Scott. Yeah, I was with Scott. Barely Functional Dog Shit.
Barely Functional Dog Shit. That almost... Could that be one of Mike's? Huh. I'm going to say it is a title.
That is correct.
Oof.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let's Like Us.
Is a title.
No, it wasn't the title.
Man, that sounded familiar. Okay.
I thought that was a title.
Scott, Japan's Very Own.
That is a title.
No.
I think I said that.
No, it was Europe's Very Own. I just made a parody of that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alex, I only date newborns.
That was an episode Josh, I, and Danny recorded. Yes, that is a title.
That is correct. Scott, present podcast of Metal League of Wonder. Of Wilder.
Wait, say that again?
Present podcast of Melodic of Wilder.
I know we did one where it was like a spoof of the Runner 2 title, but I don't know if that was exactly it. I'm going to say no.
You are incorrect.
So that was exactly it. Okay.
And the last one for Alex is We All Love Danny.
Even though it's true, I don't think it's a title.
No, it was actually We All Hate Danny.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a point. That's cool.
I think you got more than me, Alex.
We'll see. You still got another one, don't you?
Yes. Radio Trivia with your host, TIP. Had some guests this year. Who joined them this year?
I did.
Oh, God. Yeah, Alex did.
Zach did.
Mm-hmm. Scott?
Josh?
No.
Did you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No?
Splends.
Is it on the list?
Okay.
You're going to pass?
Well, I mean, I guess I could just keep naming names at someone. What about the other Zach?
Kaplan, as he said.
No.
Curtis.
No. These are more established names in the NVR staff that joined him this year.
Jonathan Metz.
Correct.
James Jones.
Correct.
Guillaume Veillette.
Correct.
Nate Andrews.
No.
He was never on one, really?
John Lindemann.
No.
I didn't think he would. It was worth a try.
So...
How many are we missing?
You are missing 3.
Okay. Wow.
But I don't think you're going to get them, so we're going to move on.
Okay.
So the ones that you didn't get were Neil, Greg Leahy, and Andrew Brown.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Question 9. There's, of course, also Radio Free Nintendo, which is the other big podcast on this website. And these are edited by Guillaume Veillette. But there are a couple of times where he didn't edit the podcast. How many times did he not edit the thing?
4.
5.
Is that your final answers, your final guess answers?
Yes. Sure.
It was 14 times, so I don't know who guessed 5.
I guessed 5.
So that point is going to Alex.
I didn't know James and
he was John... 9 off and he gets the point.
I was surprised James and Jonathan edited that many times. I'm not surprised, but I guess I am surprised. I thought it was always.
I am. I didn't know it was that many. Yeah.
Yeah.
Name our top 10 Wii U games in the first year.
Top 10.
Oh, Mario 3D World, Zombie U.
No! Don't go that fast. I have to. you said Mario 3D World. You said.
He said Zombie U,
Pikmin 3. I said those 3, and then Alex said 1.
I said Wind Waker HD.
Yeah.
Runner 2.
New Super Mario Bros. U.
Mm-hmm.
What other games came out?
Yeah, why can't I think of anything?
Rayman Legends.
Correct.
Yeah.
You didn't get that.
I know. How did I not get that one?
I'm missing 2 in particular.
New Super Luigi U?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought we counted that separate.
We Fit You?
No.
Okay.
There's Little one more.
City?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Which feature has been published consistently every week for the last year?
Wait, say that again?
Which feature has been published on the site every week for the last year consistently?
Oh, Nintendo Downloads.
Nintendo Collector's Diary or Journal. The Justin Barbie one.
Both don't count as features. Oh, the Ruby one counts as a feature, but that wasn't weekly.
Oh, feature.
A feature.
Nintendo Downloads isn't a man.
Yeah, you were closer by, Scott. I will say it has to do something with Nintendo Downloads, but not domestic. If I say the name Denny Bivens.
Oh, the Japanese?
Yep.
Weekly downloads?
Oh, okay. Cool.
So that's a feature, but the US one is news? Is that how we break it down?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's. I don't know how that works, but there you go.
Yeah. Come on, Danny.
Which of the 3 starter Pokemon or an evolved form of that was most mentioned in the R Pokemon Teams feature for Pokemon X and Y?
What'd you say?
Of the 3 starting Pokemon or an evolved version of it was most mentioned in our Pokemon X and Y teams feature?
I'm going to guess Froakie.
Scott.
God, I don't even remember the names of them. The grass one was like Chair or something.
Yeah, just Jespin, Froakie, and Vennekin.
Yep.
Wait, what were they?
Venikin, Chespin, and Froakie.
Oh, yeah. Froakie's probably it, but I'll say the Venikin. I'll say the fire one.
You are correct, Scott.
Yeah, I realize that people like their furry Pokemon.
And the final question of this round. Which game does Justin Baker replay every summer, as he said in his staff says? Was it Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door, F-Zero X, Elite Beat Agents, or Mega Man X?
Mega Man X.
That point goes to Alex.
Yeah.
Sounds like an every summer game.
At the end of that round, it's 39 for Scott, 42.5 for Alex.
Oh my
damn,
God.
This is close. But you still got that final round.
Yeah, we'll and that final round is going to go for five points. So let's get into it. So the final round is something I kind of stole from other quiz, but it's so fun, so I had to include it. It's Defend the Indefensible. So players have to cherish, champion, or appreciate a statement for 60 seconds. And the person who can argue it the best, even if it will hurt them from the ground of their heart, will win. Who wants to go first of you two?
I'll start.
Okay.
Scott can have it.
Scott. So, just before the listeners at home, they had to make the statements for the other person. Scott, when I say the statement, you have to argue it directly for a minute. So,
okay.
Take a deep breath.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Rayman Legends is a 5 out of 10 game. Go ahead.
Okay, go?
Yeah.
Well, you see, there's a lot of things wrong with Rayman Legends. You have the Murphy levels, first of all, which are just complete garbage. The AI moves too slow. They break up the entire flow of the game. They're just kind of a nuisance. It seems like an interesting idea, but it just really isn't. It does not work. And the trouble is that they kind of pop up every 2 or 3 levels, so you're forced into this completely different game style, which just does not work. It is terrible. And while you can skip them, doing so, when you get to the end of the game to unlock the final world, you're going to have to go back and play them. And if you have to play them back to back to back, you'll basically want to kill yourself. It was delayed for a long time, so it could release on other consoles, which is just complete garbage, and I hate it for that. Most of the game's content, well, a good chunk of the game's content comes from Rayman Origins. A bunch of the levels from Rayman Origins appear in Legends. So talk about rehashing there. Kind of lazy on Ubisoft's part, if you ask me. Can't even make a complete own game.
And
from
that
Legends.
Is time.
5 out of 10.
Yeah. time goes by very quickly, huh?
It does.
Yeah. Alex, are you prepared?
I am unprepared, but ready to talk out of my ass.
I'm very interested how you're going to react to this one. Mm-hmm. Tell me why Super Mario 3D World is the greatest Mario game of all time. There you go.
I'm going to talk to you a bit about the evolution of Mario. Mario 64 started a concept which was good but wasn't quite evolved yet. Mario 3D World seems like the full realization of that concept. Just like 3D Land was a good game, it started that idea of linear levels. Mario 3D World perfected it. It is a beautiful game, it has an ideal soundtrack, and the level design, impeccable. The four characters take exactly what I love about Super Mario Bros. 2 and take it to the modern era. They might not have Wart, but having Bowser and having someone who wasn't the generic damsel in distress as Peach, ideal. Perfect. I couldn't say anything more. Tons of bonus content. And you know what? It had a perfect, brilliant level progression. At the very end, it got so hard that I couldn't even beat the levels without getting the 3 stars. Super Mario 3D World undoubtedly is a 10 out of 10 game and the finest game Nintendo has ever made.
Wow, you did that one second remaining. That's incredible. Jesus. Oh, who's going to win this one? Hmm.
You know what? Before you even decide, I think we both deserve a pat on the back. I am surprised Scott took something like a mediocre score and he was able to take a professional, critical approach to it. That impressed me.
Yeah. Both did very well. Ooh. Okay. I'm going to give the 5 points to Alex.
Okay, why?
Because you're such an incredible bullshitter.
I know.
The way that you talked like, yeah, this is like, yeah, this is like the evolution of like, it's like, I almost totally bought it. I was like, this man is almost excited for Mario 3D World now. It's amazing. and I liked the critical approach of Scott. I know that he kind of like, he was like, what should I say more? Like, and you were like very focused, were very to the point. It's like, yeah, this is the greatest Mario game ever made. It's like, okay, I bought that. So you got the 5 points.
Oh, all right. Can I just say, though, I would like to thank Andrew Brown for being such an optimistic Mario fan. I didn't read from his review or anything, but when I read his review that it it changed the Mario formula, that's where I basically went to in my mind to do this. Now, I'm not saying he's wrong, even though I don't like the game that much, but like his optimism as a Nintendo fan is inspiring to me.
Well, all the thanks to Andrew Brown then. At the end of this, this spectacle, Scott got a respectable 39 points, and Alex dominated this competition with 47.5.
I'm not going to say dominated. In fact, you know what? Give like a few points and a quarter to Scott so it ties out, because I think he did just as good a job as I did. I'm not even going to take the victory. In fact, Scott, you win. You can have it.
It's very, very noble of you, Alex.
No, it was fun. I don't think it was, like, that far beyond. I think the 5 points is what swung it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the rest of us, pretty close to one another. Had you guys had fun?
It was great.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It was a good time.
Excellent. Would you opt for this, do this one again later in the year?
I would do it later tonight.
Well, yeah, right?
Fantastic.
So get to work, Don. Start writing those questions. Let's do questions about the first 2 weeks of 2014.
No, I would be up for doing one in January. So what rests me is, are you guys working on anything for the site?
I'm in the process of starting a new video series where I basically take editorials that would be in text form and I talk at a camera. Without much of a script, just generally a few notes, saying my opinions. I like the idea of talking to a camera, being direct to an audience, so hopefully anyone listening to this will look forward to that and enjoy it.
Scott?
For the site, no, just the normal stuff. I mean, just the podcast every week and stuff. I just reviewed Dr. Luigi over on IGN, if anyone wants to go read or watch that review.
Narrated in video form by the always lovely Jose Otero.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, no, as far as the site, nothing really lined up apart from, yeah, just pumping out some connectivities every week, so.
Pumping those out like crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
Always important. Then, what rests me is to thank you for being on this extravaganza of a long podcast.
Sure.
Oh, this was my favorite, like, connectivity thing in a long while.
Yeah, you did. This was amazing, Don. You did good work.
You did great. So.
It was difficult to keep up with the score sometimes, so
I can imagine.
So it might be 1 or 2 points like difference. So I excuse myself for that, but it was still like pretty much the the roundout as it used to be. So no worries about that.
Yeah. Hopefully, the editing isn't too tough on you.
Yeah,
hopefully not. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. And I wish you all a good day, a good night, a good morning, whenever you listen to this. Maybe you're going just to work and thinking, this is a good start of my day. I say, fantastic. Have a lovely day. Bye. Have a
bye, bye, guys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the segment of Connectivity. I am Scott Thompson. Today, I'm with Zach Miller.
Howdy, everybody.
And today, we're going to do a little something a little different. A couple weeks ago, we did our top games of 2013, and last week, we took a look at 2014. So now we're going to take a jump all the way back to, well, I guess, the time span of, 2006 to 2012.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about the Wii.
What?
Zach, you came up. I know it's insane. You came up with this idea, so why don't you talk a little bit about what this segment is?
Yeah, I was listening to the Player One podcast. They did a Wii retrospective, and they were really struggling to come up with five top games for each of them. They were all kind of trying to figure out. They couldn't come up with a good list, and I thought, well, that's stupid. I know what my top five Wii games would be. But that seems like such a, what's the word? Cliche thing to do. And we've probably already done it before. So I thought, what game in 20 years are people going to say that game defined the system? Like, what game was Wii all about? NES, I'd say it's Super Mario Brothers 3 is the best that system could do. It kind of said everything you need to say about the NES. So what would it be for the Wii? And we've each we'll start out with the obvious one, but then we each have two games that we think other people should consider too. So that's the concept, and Scott was willing to jump in with me.
Indeed, yeah. No one else is available, no. But we should be able to handle it.
So, Scott, why don't you introduce the most obvious game here?
So, the most obvious, without a doubt, is Wii Sports.
Wii Sports.
Maybe / Wii Sports Resort. I don't know. I still don't think that got anywhere near as much traction as Wii Sports did. Most people probably don't even – most casual Wii owners probably don't even really know that's a thing.
Right.
But Wii Sports for sure. I mean, who can forget playing Wii Sports for the first time?
Right.
It was incredible. I mean, I remember the day I got my Wii, a buddy and me, we both got Wiis. We went to GameStop and picked ours up. We reserved them, so we didn't have to wait in line overnight or anything like that. We just went at 9 a.m. and picked them up. And then pretty much all day that Sunday, we had this like rotating cast of friends come over, probably like about 20 different friends throughout the day just come over and play primarily Wii Bowling.
Wow.
I mean, throughout the day, yeah, like, we would just text them, like, you have to come over and try this, you know, whether you, when you get out of work or when you get a chance or whatever. And, yeah, like, just throughout the day, different people came over to my friend's house, and we just played Wii Sports nonstop.
That's nuts.
And it was like that for a long time. I mean, months we probably did that.
Me too. I got a Wii, and I lived right across the halls from some of my best friends, and we probably played Wii Bowling every day for 6 months. It was insane. And to me, Wii Sports, it's not just it's a good game. It shows off the motion control, but it really captured that audience Nintendo was obviously going for, this blue ocean strategy where, I mean, I think the whole system must have been designed around the Wii Sports identity. It's very simple. It's just got this remote. Anyone can play it.
From kids to
grandparents.
Yeah, and I absolutely believe that, the idea of the system being designed around it. Because when you think of, like, you know, we've all heard that the N64 controller was developed specifically for Mario 64. And then it's kind of like, well, everything else just kind of make work on this controller. But we need this controller for Mario 64, so that's what we're doing. And I have no problem believing that Wii was designed with Wii Sports in mind, first and foremost.
Right. Exactly the Blue Ocean game, and I know people who bought Wiis and Wii Sports and never really bought anything else. Maybe they bought Wii Fit, but they continued to play Wii Sports. And to this day, when we go over to my in-law's house in Kansas, if me or her brother-in-law have brought their Wii with them, we're going to play Wii Sports every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that kind of game, and I do think that's, I mean, it's hard to argue for any other game being synonymous with the Wii.
Yeah.
Over Wii Sports. And I don't know, it's interesting, because I don't think Nintendo's really been able to capitalize on that you know, how you, the Blue Ocean strategy, like you've said,
no.
like they did with Wii Sports.
No, never again. That is kind of interesting. I think the closest they probably got was Wii Fit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was another big one. And then I feel like after Wii Fit is when things sort of started dying down. I don't believe Wii Fit U or Wii Sports Resort did as well.
No.
Anywhere near as well as those original titles did. And then now you've got the iterations on Wii U, which I don't know that we've really seen. Well, I guess we wouldn't have seen sales number for Wii Fit U yet because it's only been digital and,
right.
and that's not included in NPDs. So
I haven't bought any of them because I have them on Wii. We're
yeah.
fine.
And, you know, it's kind of weird. We haven't really talked about it, but the Wii Sports games on Wii U, playing them online, for as much as, like, everyone's kind of been demanding that Nintendo implement online functionality with those Wii Sports games and things like that, it, to me, it's actually not that fun.
No, it's not as fun. I mean, that's another part of the thing that made Wii great is you're there with your family
mm-hmm.
playing bowling or your friends, and there is something about that being in the same room.
Right.
That I think the Wii really capitalized on. And Nintendo's been adamant about since the NES.
Yeah. Yeah, it just feels slow. It's not, I mean, yeah, it's just not as fun. I mean, you're just watching other people bowl in between your own, you know, your own throws, and it's just...
Like watching
all
the
exciting.
AI.
Yeah, exactly. Tennis is a little better, because obviously there's much more action in it.
Oh,
but
sure.
The bowling really loses a lot when you're not just playing with a group of friends.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So that's Wii Sports. I mean, we all know it. You all know it. We all probably loved it at some point, even if we don't want to admit it. I feel like there's a weird kind of retroactive, like, I don't know if hate's the right word, but, like, maybe indifference towards Wii Sports. I think a lot of people, just because it did define the Wii so much and Nintendo's sort of casual output for a long time, people kind of, like, have a grudge against Wii Sports. But you can't deny that wasn't a fantastic game
no,
for a long
time.
No,
it was really good. I mean... Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, Wii Sports wasn't all that good. It was just a tech demo. Well, who cares? It was a really good one.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It's got to be one of like the best pack-in games of all time.
Yeah, and everybody, no matter who you are, if you had a Wii, or even if you didn't have a Wii, a friend had a Wii, you played Wii Sports.
Yep. And you probably enjoyed it.
Probably enjoyed it.
So as far as our other games, Zach, why don't you go ahead and go first? Why don't you come up with another Wii game that you think maybe will be remembered for defining the system?
Okay, it's a little obscure in America, probably everywhere. But
Captain Rainbow.
I think Trauma Team really showed what the Wii could do very well. It had all sorts of functionality with the Wii Remote and the Nunchuck, and I think it was a really well thought out Wii game where the developer, I think it was Atlas, really tried to make it work with the system. And
was Trauma Team, that was the one that came out just around launch, or was that the second one?
It must have been the second one. It was the one with like six different storylines and each one was very different. And I appreciate that Trauma Team works within the confines of what the Wii could do. And it doesn't try to kind of shoehorn in features that don't really work with the Wii that some games did. But Trauma Team, it's got, you know, all the pointer stuff. It's got gyroscope stuff. It's got, it uses all the buttons very simply. Anyone can play the game. I really do think that after a brief tutorial. And it's just intuitive and it works really well. And I think that if you're looking for kind of the best the Wii is capable of, that is one of the games.
Yeah, I never played Trauma Team. I played, you're right, I looked it up, and yeah, that one came out in 2010, so that was the second Wii Trauma game. I played the Trauma Center Wii game, which came out just around launch, and really enjoyed it. I played the original Trauma Center on DS, but it did work surprisingly well on the Wii. And yeah, I agree that it was implemented very well. I kind of miss a little bit of the tactile feel of like being able to press against a screen.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
In some cases, but you know, it did work really well. And that's one game I've always wanted to play, but just kind of never got the chance to.
Yeah, it's really fun. And it's very long, and each different storyline, I mean, you're doing different things, all with the Wii Remote, and it works really well.
Do the stories all kind of like...
They eventually
interwine,
they eventually interwine, yeah.
Okay.
Takes a while, though, for some of them.
Is it like the first Drama Center where, like, there's just some crazy, like, science fiction shit going on by the end of it? Like, wasn't the...
I didn't get to the end. But there is some crazy stuff. Like, I think one of the doctors turns out to be, like, a superhero. And his night job is a superhero.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, some really crazy stuff.
Well, for me, another game that I think might very well define the Wii is New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
Oh.
And I don't know, maybe it won't be remembered so much for defining the Wii, but I think it can be pinpointed for, like, revitalizing 2D platformers.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
In the mainstream. Like, you had New Super Mario Bros. On DS, and that was fine, and it did sell incredibly well, but without New Super Mario Bros. Wii, I don't think you have things like Donkey Kong Country Returns, Kirby's Return to Dream Land.
Rayman.
Even Rayman, yeah. I mean, these games pretty much kind of ape, I mean, no pun intended, exactly from New Super Mario Bros. Wii. You know, you've got 2-to-4-player multiplayer. You've got these great, like, beautiful 2D games on, you know, I mean, somewhat weaker hardware, but because it's 2D, they can kind of put a little bit more, like, love into it.
They did what they could do with the hardware limitations, that they didn't try to go outside of it.
Exactly. And it's just fantastic. I mean, I liked New Super Mario Brothers, but being able to play with up to 4 people, even though 4 people is a bit chaotic, but even just 2 people at a time going through levels together is so fantastic.
Yeah.
And it really felt like New Super Mario Brothers kind of played it safe in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas New Super Mario Bros. Wii was just like, let's just kind of do everything. So Yoshi's back, and you regain the ability to fly, at least in some respect. I think that was the one with the propeller kind of suit where you...
propeller hat.
Went straight into the air. But, I mean, it just felt much more like a real Mario game, and like one they weren't kind of reserved with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just really great. I mean, you know, I don't know if your other game's Mario Galaxy. We didn't reveal our other games to each other yet. Okay, maybe it is. But, I mean, I love the Galaxy games, and I think we'll get, you know, I'm excited for whatever the next real 3D Mario game is on Wii U, but I really think the New Super Mario Bros. Wii game just kind of revitalized a whole genre, and I think it worked better on the Wii than Mario Galaxy did. That's what I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Well, why don't you tell me?
Well, I think Mario Galaxy is an example of the best the Wii could do. I mean, when you put the Wii in a developer's hands who knows the hardware, Mario Galaxy is a beautiful game, sounds great, plays well, that is hamstrung by the Wii controls, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Mario Galaxy would work just fine, if not better, on a traditional controller. I don't like having to wiggle the Wii remote to spin. And then I think the only other thing you'd use the Wii remote for is slingshotting Mario around some of the star things in some levels. And so the Mario Galaxy team said, well, we got to use this hardware somehow. So let's do this bullshit stuff. So I think that's a real valid criticism of a lot of Wii games. It's so good. You're right there at perfection. And then you say, oh, but we got to use the remote.
And that kind of goes back to what you said about the Wii being designed with Wii Sports in mind.
Right.
That was really short-sighted to not consider how other typical normal games would play with this thing. I mean, sure, you had other means. You know, you had the classic controller and you had the nunchuck, but these were all like peripheral devices.
Yeah, it was designed for the Wii remote. And notice that Galaxy was not a launch game. I think that speaks a lot to that issue.
Them having to take time to really figure out how to implement it.
Yeah, implement it, and you know, we got to do something with it. And you could say that for a lot of other games. I think, frankly, you could say it for Skyward Sword. A little too much Wii stuff in that, and you could probably say it for like Wario Land Shake It. That game is perfect, except you have to shake the controller to shake him, and you don't need to do that. Just press a button. So
right.
I think that's a problem with a lot of Wii games, especially some, you know, first party, surprisingly amount of first party games. They get it to perfection, then they have to crank it back to do Wii stuff with it, because it's the Wii and it's got this feature and we got to use it.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, rather than, like, defining the Wii, you could almost say that, like, Mario Galaxy succeeds despite the Wii.
Yeah, that's kind of true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it does so much. And, like, you're absolutely right about, you know, when you have a developer that knows the hardware, you know, what they're able to do with it. Because that game looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, despite being on this hardware that was behind from the start. I would love to see an HD remake of those two games.
Yeah, I would too.
Incredible.
With a real controller.
With real controls. And see, that's to me why I give the nod to New Super Mario Bros. Wii. Not that I think necessarily it's a better game entirely, because Galaxy is incredible, but it just fits the Wii better.
Yeah, but even it's got the shake thing. You don't need to use it. But...
Yeah, what's it do? So you can, like, you get a little flutter jump, I think, yeah. And then you can, like, you pick up, like, your other teammates and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not as essential as in Galaxy. And Galaxy, it almost feels like it takes a step back from Mario 64, because you just have this universal, like, shake attack.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be really precise.
Right.
So, I don't know, but I do adore the Galaxy games.
Yeah. I still haven't played the second one.
Oh, what?
I know.
Oh my gosh, you should absolutely do that.
I know.
Do you own it?
No.
Oh man, you need to, like, I know you don't like GameStop or buying used.
I know
games.
It's like
you need
$20.
To track
bucks.
That down.
It's super cheap.
Yeah, you need to get that.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you really adored the first one.
Yeah, I did.
I prefer the second one. Did you like all the kind of, like, exploring the little planetoid and stuff in between levels? Did you like that, or did you prefer just getting straight from level to level?
I was more. I didn't care about the space station at all.
Yeah, see, me neither, and that's, like, the big discrepancy with people, is if you liked that space station, that shit's, like, all gone in Mario Galaxy 2.
Oh, nice.
I mean, oh, yeah, it's, like, you just, you're on this tiny, tiny, tiny little planet, and basically all you do is just, like, select the level you want to play and then go to it. You don't have to go to different observatories to find the world you want to find.
Nice.
You just go to one big map and pick where you want to go.
Well, that's better already.
Yeah.
And Yoshi.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And yeah, it's a totally refined game. You will enjoy it quite a bit.
I'll grab that. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, what's your? I'm excited to hear your. I already know what your number two is, but go ahead.
You know what it is. Yeah, if it hasn't been mentioned at this point, pretty much everyone should know. But it is Skyward Sword.
Okay, it was not what I thought you'd say.
Oh, what would you think?
I thought you were going to say Xenoblade Chronicles.
Oh shit! No. You know, that's a really fantastic game, but I don't think it defines the Wii in any way.
Like, okay.
That game to me. Because it doesn't use the Wii Remote really at all. I mean, not even really at all.
Okay.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you can choose to use the nunchuck and Wii Remote, but you're pretty much.
I was
going to
go with the
point.
Operation Rainfall angle, and you know, I don't know.
Well, that's true. I guess yeah, it defines Nintendo of America's stubbornness and bringing great games to America. Yeah, I guess that's something.
But we could. I think Skyward Sword is, like you say, a better choice. Go ahead. Tell me
yeah.
why it is.
Because as much as we're talking about Nintendo having to, like, make the Wii Remote work in certain games, in this game, it works. You don't feel like you're losing anything. If anything, you feel like you're gaining from using the Wii Remote. And did you play a little bit of the game in that stop?
I played
or have you
through
not...
the first dungeon.
And what didn't click with you?
I felt like some of the, I don't know, swinging the sword was always a little bit... not as precise as it needed to be for me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I just wasn't good at it or something, but I always felt like I'll tell what it is. Every time I swang that sword, I thought, just use a button. Every other game uses a button.
And see, that really, I think, impacted people's enjoyment of it, is how willing you were to, like, buy into the idea of constantly swinging this sword.
Yeah.
And coming from Twilight Princess...
I didn't want to think about it. How about that?
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes it a much more... I don't want to say demanding, because it's not like swinging your arm. Yeah, involved, maybe. But coming from Twilight Princess, we thought we had this promise of, like, one-to-one sword control with Wii Remote, and it really wasn't there.
No.
I mean, when you swung the remote, it really was the equivalent of pressing a button. Like, he just swung kind of arbitrarily.
Yeah.
But with Skyward Sword, I mean, it really does its best to, like, follow your motion, whether you're slicing diagonally, you know, left to right, right to left, horizontally, vertically. I mean, it tracked all that. And it,
yeah, that's
it,
true.
It played a role in fighting not only bosses, but
it's
even just,
every enemy,
just
yeah.
random enemies. Yeah, so it wasn't just like in most Zelda games where you spot an enemy and you kind of just press the sword attack button until it's dead, you
yeah,
know, or,
sure.
you know, there's some where maybe the enemy blocks, so you have to wait for him to put his shield down, but not much more than that. But every enemy in Skyward Sword, you know, had a different attack pattern and way you had to attack it.
I should go back to that game. I really should.
You should. So it made the combat much more involved. Yeah, I think that's the right word. I think you're right. Involved is absolutely the right word for it. And then it was just gorgeous. It was another game like Mario Galaxy that somehow managed to make this great looking game. With such limited hardware.
Oh, no. See, I think it's kind of the opposite. I think this is a case where they threw everything in the kitchen sink at the graphical style, and then the Wii couldn't deliver.
Really?
I think, you know, a lot of people joke and say, I want an HD version of Skyward Sword. I really do, because I think that, you know, that game does look gorgeous, but you can really see where the cracks are.
Sure. I mean, yeah, naturally. I mean, now at this point, let's see, when did that come out? That came out 2011, right? The end of 2011?
Yeah.
And, I mean, basically the Wii is GameCube tech. So, I mean, you're talking now a console that's on tech that's, God, I don't know, almost 10 years old at that point, right?
Yeah.
The GameCube came out in 2001.
But so, it's not necessarily a problem of fidelity or technical specs. It's an issue with the art direction they went with. Notice that Wind Waker, in my opinion, Wind Waker 10 years earlier looks a little better because they had this very set art design, art style in mind that would work really well on the GameCube. And I feel like they had a set art design style for Skyward Sword, but maybe the Wii couldn't necessarily deliver.
Sure.
100%. So I think it's not necessarily, like I say, not necessarily an issue of the hardware. It's they really wanted to go with something impressive, and they really tried to squeeze it out of the Wii, but the Wii couldn't do what they wanted, maybe.
Yeah. And, you know, to me, it's not even so much art style that you see that, but it's just sort of the limitation of, like, the sky. I mean, there's nothing there.
No.
It's virtually empty.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, strange loading times. I mean, when you're on the main kind of floating island where Link is from. Yeah, Skyloft. And then you, like, dive off, you know. It'd be awesome if it was this seamless transition.
Yeah,
where
but
you're just
there is
diving.
That weird loading, isn't there?
Yeah, there's constant loading. And then when you go from the sky to landing, you know, whether it's in the forest or the, you know, the mountain zone or, you know, wherever you're going, there's loading times there, too. I mean, for that, that's why I would love to see an HD remake, just to get rid of those loading times. If you had this, like, seamless, like, living world, I it would feel like a much more, like, complete game, I guess.
Yeah.
But still, I can't get enough of the controls, and I'm kind of torn now with what I want to see for the next Zelda. Because, like we've talked about before, Wind Waker on Wii U works so goddamn well, and I love having the gamepad and all the items and stuff right on the touchscreen, and it's so easy to be looking down and see the map or adjust your items or what have you. But that ease goes away if you're going back to the Wii Remote, like sword controls. I mean, sure, you have the gamepad in your lap, I guess, but still, I mean, you're having to adjust the controller or, you know, hand the Wii Remote to your left hand while you look down and touch the touchscreen to, like, equip the boomerang or the bombs or something.
I don't think they'll go back to the remote and the gamepad. They can't do that. That's just too weird.
Using both of them, you're
saying? Yeah.
So you're saying it has to be one or the other?
And I don't know if they'll go to Wii controls primarily because they sank all this money into the gamepad.
Yeah, I want to say there was an interview. I wish I would have pulled it up ahead of time.
I know what you're talking about.
Or someone, maybe they specifically said, right, that it was they were going to keep the motion controls, I'm pretty sure.
I think it was Enuma.
Oh, okay. Said that the motion controls would appear in future Zelda games.
Zelda games, yeah.
That they wouldn't go back. But you're right. I mean, how you implement all of that, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. If I think about I'm torn. I'm just torn. I love the motion controls, but playing Wind Waker, I love using the touchscreen to just quickly do things. So I don't know what I would sacrifice over the other.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that Skyward Sword, thinking back to what I've played, let me ask you this instead. It's a different question.
Sure.
Do you think Nintendo, through the life of the Wii, remember how they said initially, we want to train gamers to play more gamer games. Like, you start with Wii Sports, that's your gateway drug, and then you move to, like, Mario Kart. Everyone's playing Mario Kart. And then everyone's playing Super Mario Brothers Wii, right? Or New Super Mario Brothers Wii. Do you think that Skyward Sword was meant to be the end point there? Because there is a lot of, you know, no duh things for gamers in that. But Skyward Sword really trains you, like, hardcore. And not just with, you know, moving the Wii Remote around. I mean, every time you get an item, it tells you what it is. You have that gigantic ghost of the Wii Remote on the screen all the time.
Yeah.
I really do wonder if Nintendo initially, maybe in 2006, thought, you know, people who've never played a video game before will buy Wii Sports, and then through this, you know, process of getting better at games, eventually they'll be able to play a Zelda game.
You know, I wouldn't doubt if in board meetings at some point around the Wii's launch, maybe before the Wii's launch, or as they're outlining future games for the Wii, that's not a conversation that happened.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, you've got this logical growth process for these casual gamers who come in and they become more and more comfortable with traditional games, that Skyward Sword would be that end point.
Right.
I don't think it happened.
No, I don't either, but I just wonder if that was their intention.
My mom never went and picked up Skyward Sword. I don't know about you. But, yeah, I you know, that is an interesting point, because you're right. That game is a little heavy on the tutorials. Maybe even a little heavy is underselling it, because you're right. Every time you pick up an item, it tells you, you know, a collectible. It's telling you what to use it for. It is a little hand-holdy at times. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Like, more so than previous, right. Like, much more so than previous Zelda games. And that's the only reason I wonder if they're trying to train a new generation of gamers to play Zelda.
That could be. But now that I'm playing A Link Between Worlds, I think it's easy to see they maybe abandoned that.
Yeah, definitely.
A Link Between Worlds,
although 3DS has a very different audience.
True. This is very true.
Who knows?
But I would say the Wii U even has a very different audience at this point.
Oh, sure.
So I don't anticipate that kind of helpfulness appearing in the next Wii U Zelda game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with the next game. Not just control wise, but how heavy handed they are on. I mean, after the success of Link Between Worlds, I have to think they'll go more towards that.
Well, and like the universal praise that has come about from them, kind of giving the player control right from the start and just sort of letting the player have that freedom.
Yeah.
I don't see how you just go back from that now.
Yeah.
I think this was kind of like a test, and they see everyone pretty much loved it, and they're going to implement that. Yeah. I mean, all I want is Zelda, like a Zelda version of Skyrim or something to that equivalent, right?
I want
a huge open world.
Not first person, though. That'd be weird.
No, not first person, but just that kind of like huge open world and just that amount of freedom.
Yeah.
Where there's all these like crazy like dungeons that aren't even main dungeons that you have to explore, but they're just hidden about.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Just a lot to find and explore, and I like that idea.
Yeah, I do too. That's a good idea.
Thank you. Well, all right, Nintendo.
There you go.
not that I'm at all.
You guys played Skyrim.
Yeah. So I think that does it. Were there any others that you were thinking of that didn't quite fit the mold here?
For a little while, I thought the Endless Ocean games, mm-hmm. but they, I don't know, they don't really fit into any particular audience. I thought that because when I was playing it I was playing it last night, and I thought my father-in-law would like this game because he likes diving, and then I thought, but he wouldn't like the classic controller. There's too many buttons. You just want to point at a fish and see what it is. And then the other game I considered putting on was Silent Hill. Because that uses the Wii Remote really well, too, as the flashlight and as the phone. But I don't know. I really feel like that game, I don't know, that's just such a specialized audience. Doesn't really say anything about the Wii to me.
No. Yeah, I would agree.
You know? Not like Mario Galaxy or New Super Mario Brothers U or Skyward Sword would.
Right.
I mean, Trauma Team's already a freaking obscure game. I just think it does. I think the developer's really good about it. That's why I put it on my list.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, whatever. How about you?
You mentioned Mario Kart. I kind of thought about that for a little bit.
Yeah, I did too.
I do think it was one of the kind of more successful Mario Kart games.
Yeah, it appealed to a much broader audience. They did a good job with the PR on that.
Right, and like you said, that was an easy bridge to cross from Wii Sports to Mario Kart.
Yeah, that stupid wheel.
Oh, God, yeah, that stupid wheel. So I was thinking Mario Kart, and no, that was pretty much it. Yeah. Now that you say Xenoblade Chronicles, I think about it, but I didn't think about that ahead of time, so... All right, well, I think that will about do it. So you, the listener out there, why not comment and let us know what Wii games you think define the system? They don't have to necessarily be the best games. They don't have to be perfect. But what games do you think will be remembered, you know, 10, 20 years when we look back at the Wii? But anyway, Zach, thanks for coming up with this topic.
Of course.
And thanks for being here.
Wouldn't be anywhere
and
else.
There you go. And we will talk to you guys later.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget to send listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and if you've got a moment, please rate and review the show on iTunes.